You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Wednesday's show. We're going to have a great show today. At least that's my prediction. I have in studio, I have Lamont Hundley from the good old days of UA football. He's here for, I hope, an hour. I might have to convince him here.
There's no food.
Call pizza, Tom. We got to call pizza. We didn't know that he needed to be enticed.
Exactly. I need to be served.
So, Mr. Arizona Health, thank you for coming in, Lamont.
Thank you for having us. I look forward to this hour, and maybe we can
continue
with some things out there.
Okay. Yes. No. We'll talk about that. We're going to take some calls, please. If you want to win some great tickets, a pair of tickets for the 50-yard line, I think it's the west side. I'm hoping it's the west side. To watch the game on Saturday. We're going to give them to the best caller with the best take on this weekend's game. It's going to be subjective by me. I'll ask my guy Lamont to chime in. We'll figure that out at the end of the show, and we'll give them away tomorrow. I mean, we'll give them to you tomorrow. But if you'd like to call in, 790-2040. But Lamont, you come in and tell me that it's almost a sold-out show.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that right now I'm close to about 4,000 to get this thing a sellout, which would be excellent. And be excellent if that can happen. Be great for the community. It'd be great for the players on the field. Everything would be wonderful. We can see Tucson come out and support the kids.
It's funny because you said it and you hit it on the head before we got on the air. And I think it's for every sport, mm-hmm. for life. Mm-hmm. If you win, they come.
Exactly. They win, they show up. Mm-hmm. So that's the case here. People want to see a winning product. They want to see, a team that wins and not a team that's so-so. We're on the 4-1. Mm-hmm. So we're a winner at this point in time. So I think Tucson want to see really what's out there in the product that's out on the field. So, hey, my hat's off to the team to be able to put themselves in that position. To force Tucson to come out and visit.
I would assume that you're that type of fan as well. If they're 1-4, you're not too excited, but they're 4-1, you're excited.
Yeah, well, I'm that type of fan on excitement aspect of it, but I am a fan that goes through the game regardless if they mm-hmm. win or lose.
I
just do it because of the fact that I understand what the kids are going through mm-hmm. as a former player myself. And I think it's important, that you be there and support them in every fashion that is. I'm a football guy anyway, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. that also create my interest to be there. But I think the kids need to have players there. I mean, I'm a fan of the game of all Arizona sports, particularly football. I'm a season ticket holder. I've been there for almost 30 years now. Mm-hmm. So for those reasons, I'm always be there.
I have more questions about that, but let's go to a question from Chris, who has a question for you, Lamont. Mm. Chris, how are you?
Well, I'm fine. This is a quick question, and I hate to do this on the air, but Lamont, you have sold me two really good gym systems, the Vector program, and I'm running into a little bit of tightness. Do you have the oil that you use?
Welcome to the.
Can I come down and get it?
Oh, actually, that's a simple fix on your behalf, Chris. You can go right to Ace Hardware and get some motor oil, and just put it on a rag and rub up and down the guide rods, and that'll get your thing, your machine, working just like it was from the first day we put it in your home. But we thoroughly appreciate you thinking of us like that, and two units, right?
Yeah, well, we did one in one house. We did it in the second house.
Okay.
A brand new system, and it's just been terrific. Okay. And you guys have been terrific.
Wow.
I think we sat next to each other at one of the concerts here. Not that long ago, but
Chris, we were at the what's his name, the piano player.
In
town?
Right.
No, yeah, we was at the TCC. What's the piano player?
All right, at TCC. It was from England.
Yeah, from England.
We're both
Elton John.
We are getting old, but yes, Chris. Yeah, and Sharon's your wife, right?
Right.
All right. Well, good. That is awesome, brother.
Chris, this is what I have to say. You have to buy a third house so you can get another third unit in.
Exactly. Or yeah. we can well, upgrade those units.
If I did, I would go right back to Lamont.
Thank you.
They have a terrific company.
Thank you,
but,
sir.
But I also appreciated the years that he played and what he had to battle when he got done playing, which was really rough.
Yeah.
Well, you're a hero.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate everything. I appreciate you, you know, you being there for us as Arizona Health as well as watching me as a football player.
Let me ask you, Chris, real quick. I didn't know if you knew that Lamont was going to be on, but do you listen to the show from time to time?
Yeah, I know. I enjoy your show, and I just happened to be driving home, and I thought, I've been meaning to call
to
find out the answer. And I thought, well, I guess I kind of imposed on the city of Tucson.
No.
Find out. Maybe somebody else out there also needs to know, but it's a lightweight oil, and that's fine. Anyone will do.
Yeah, and you know, you can put it, or you can just give us a call, and we'll be glad to do an insert, do some service on your machine.
He's saving you money. What are you doing? He's just saving you money.
Well, I'm that type of guy. I love to save, so you know, people can realize that you know, we give and we take.
Chris,
it works both ways.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Steve, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Enjoy the program.
Thank you, Chris.
That was awesome. I can't even think of the concert.
Was it recent?
It was about a year and a half ago.
I don't even know.
It was the guy, the piano player. He's a well-known piano player.
Not Billy Joe, not Barry Manilow.
Yeah, keep on going. Elton John.
No, in town here?
Yes, Chris, was Elton John, if you're still listening.
So he was in town? Elton John was in town?
Yes, he was in town.
I did not know that.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was awesome, concert. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would assume so. I didn't know that he was in town.
Yeah, he played almost 2.5 hours nonstop.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So when you played it, I lost the thought I was going to ask you, but we're talking about winning and what brings people into the seats. Mm-hmm. The fact that Washington lost and Arizona continues to win, does that mean anything? Probably not.
No, I don't think at all. I think, in the community here, they want to see, you know,
Arizona,
the home team, which is Arizona. Mm-hmm. It does help. I mean, if Washington would have won in the past week, it instead of, you know, at 4,000, or maybe 1,000. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Because there are some people that want to really see if Arizona
is legit
or not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, okay, and this is, I play the psychology game because I'm a sports writer, but I also play it in life where factors are involved. And someone asked me earlier today, what would be the factors? I said, well, if Washington had won last week, they would be, I would think they have a tendency to maybe even overlook Arizona. That may have helped them realize they're not as good as they think they are. So they have to come and play better.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, because of the fact that, you know, it's just not a physical game, but it is a psychological, mental game just as well. So players do get, you know, lost in those moments in regards to that. So that could have taken place. They could have overlooked, you know, the game that was playing, but it's kind of hard to overlook any team in the Pac-12.
No question. It's funny because I like talking about this more than actually sports, but I think one of the lost thoughts on sports is the psychology part of the game. Because some people walk in, I want to be the best guy there, yada, I don't have to play hard, and they get their butts beat.
Amen.
It happens a lot.
Oh, right.
And people don't think, well, how come the best guy didn't win? It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, because he's not playing the game upstairs. I mean, he got everything physically to make it happen, but mentally and upstairs, preparing himself, you know, in the classroom, you know, as far as preparing himself in the classroom with X's and O's and the teaching that's on the wall, as well as putting yourself in that position and see yourself play the game before the game is played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so those things are, again, part of the structure as far as, you know, preparing yourself as an elite athlete and an elite player, you know, to be the best that's out on the field.
So I'm not going to put you on the spot to directly say which games happen, and they may never have happened. But Arizona, back in your time, you could tell when the team wasn't up, I assume. And did that happen a time or two or three or four?
Oh, yeah, it happened quite often as far as, you know, the highs and lows, because the schedule actually predicted
too. Right.
You know, as far as who you're playing.
Circumstances of the event.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, but even back in the day, as I recall, it was Coach Smith as well as his staff that made sure we mentally in the right frame of mind and prepare for whoever we play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be NAU coming in or whoever it may be. We didn't play NAU, but that's the team I'm thinking of. But we prepare for NAU like you prepare for USC.
But they can give you the message. Mm-hmm. They can hammer it home.
Right.
But if you guys don't take the message, right, it ain't going to work.
It's useless at that point in time. And everyone's different. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's different as far as how they choose to prepare or want to prepare. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, outside distractions that take place. I mean, we're talking kids here,
right,
too.
Right, right,
we're still talking young kids here. So you got a lot of things that's going on in regards to, you know, are you fully preparing yourself based on the information that's given to you? You know, and then you got all these other outside distractions that may pull you away from it.
In fact, I say this a lot. It's how you play that day.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand that their kids, even adults, they have wife issues, husband issues, mm-hmm. girlfriend's issue that day, yada, yada, psychology can mess with your head, and you're down or whatever, and that affects how you play.
How you play, exactly. It does. I mean, that particular day has an effect while you're playing the game, of mm-hmm. course. But mm-hmm. leading up to the game, as far as practice, too,
mm-hmm.
also determine how you may play on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't prepare properly throughout the week, okay, mm-hmm. and you just take it nonchalantly and just out there, you know, and taking things for granted, come Saturday, that's how you're going to play.
In fact, I think there's another philosophy that games are won Monday through Friday.
Amen.
Exactly. And Saturday, you just show what you learned.
Just show up. Because, I mean, at that time, there's no room for even thinking. You mm-hmm. just got to react.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't know by now, you won't know.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you put in position as, well, I mean, if you look at a staff, a great staff is going to make sure his players are prepared. Mm-hmm. And you can notice it. You can notice at the first series of a game if those players are really truly prepared mm-hmm. or choose to be there at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as far as simple things, as far as alignment, you know, simple things as far as, like I said, look at the down lineman. He's supposed to be in the A gap, B gap, or whatever it may be, but mentally he's in the wrong gap. Mm-hmm. So now you got the linebacker yelling and pushing him over and try to get him in the right position, you know, that slows his moment down as far as playing the game. Mm-hmm. So simple things like that you can sit there and watch and see it develop, and you notice if this team is ready or not.
Do you, I got to go to a break, but do you notice when you go to the game those type of things? Do you watch that game for that?
Yeah, I watch the game for the certain players I most definitely keep my eyes on. Mm-hmm. I mean, Burns kids is one kid that I have interest because I know his father first and foremost, but I think that kid, you know, he's on the verge of being a really great, I shouldn't use the word great, a good defensive back for us here at the University of Arizona. But there's little subtle things that he still need to work on and make it happen.
And he's still young.
Yeah,
which, of course, that upside is there's a lot there.
Exactly.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and in with me in studio is Lamont Hundley, owner of Arizona Health. Great. You already got your commercial from Chris.
There always can be more, brother.
And yours will come up. You've been in business for like almost 30 years here?
Yeah, we've been in Tucson in business for, it will be 34 years come November the 1st.
And does it feel like 34 years?
It does not. You know, it feels like yesterday because the fact it's really not our job per se. And we're having fun as far as what we do.
Isn't that the cool thing? It's like I'm working here, but it's not really a job.
Yeah. Well, you're having fun in what you do. You got passion. You got love for what you do. Right. And you're helping people. So
right. Or
that's
trying
the beautiful
to.
Thing.
Yeah. So you probably have customers for 30-some years that you've known for that long.
Oh, yes.
And they keep coming back every now and again because your machines are pretty good. So they don't. You're like the Maytag repairman.
Well, and you're absolutely right in that case. But you know what? You always need to, you know, upgrade, you know, because there's so much advanced stuff that's happening now in equipment.
Yeah.
So it's good to upgrade. And we offer that, you know, in regards to if a person got something, you can bring it back and we can put you in the newer latest model.
Yeah. Let's go back to philosophy and the sport. So let's assume for a second it happened to you guys every now and again, and your team did not get up and down, get up to the emotional level you needed them to get to. Mm-hmm. So if you're a coach, what would you do to get there? And I say that most of the time, if you're not there, you ain't getting there.
Now, you're talking about during the game or leading up to the game?
During the game. When you know they show up and they're not there emotionally.
Okay. Well, during the game, it's and again, you can look at a a kid's face or player's face, mm-hmm. and that could determine if they really ready for this game or not. So now, as a coach, I mean, there's things that a coach has to get in that coach in that player's face and really see if this player ready to play or not. And the best thing that you can do to a player as far as to convince him or get
him
going.
I'm hoping it's the same answer.
You know, is to say, I got a seat for you right beside
me. That's what I was going to go
and
with
you
it.
Threaten it yes. with time. You threaten it with time and playing time. Mm-hmm. And if you take away that playing time, they're going to figure out a way, you know, of getting excited and getting emotional and getting prepared mm-hmm. and ready for the game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no question. In fact, for basketball, the thing I cover the most, and it's a five-guy group that you know mm-hmm. that if they just didn't show up, mm-hmm. and I've seen it many times.
Right.
And it doesn't happen very often where a coach would have the courage to get them all out, mm-hmm. put the second team right. in, and if they're getting beat, well, as you know, you're doing the same thing with the first team.
Right.
So that'll get the first team ready.
Ready to go. Yep. Mm-hmm. You get them excited and you say, well, I'm threatened by some playing time here because, you know, my stats could be off a little right. bit if I don't get on this court.
I have this, and I don't think you and I have talked about this. I'm a firm believer that numbers mean nothing. Nothing. Tackles and all that stuff. If you're good, I'll use basketball as my analogy, mm-hmm. and I'll use Richard Jefferson as my guy.
Okay.
And it doesn't apply to everybody, but Richard did us. He left after his junior year. He averaged 12 and change, mm-hmm. rebounds maybe 6, but you knew Richard was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my colleagues, national colleagues, he'll never make it in the league because his stats are not good enough.
I get you. Okay.
And I'm thinking, the guy can play.
Right.
And NBA people at that level, mm-hmm. football too, if you can play, mm-hmm. numbers mean nothing.
That's true. I mean, as far as and it's more, you know,
to basketball
mm-hmm. than any other sports, because in a way basketball is the individual sport, but football is more of a team sport. So that is very true on that aspect of it, because there are so many other intangibles that a person has mm-hmm. in regards mm-hmm. to, you know, being on the football field or the basketball field that makes a difference as far as, you know, creating a team environment or atmosphere and wins and losses. Mm-hmm. So I think that's very true. The only time stats mean something.
Go ahead.
You know?
You had that look. What are you thinking about?
Exactly. Stats mean something, you know, when you, especially at a man my age at this point in time. And once you play the game on a Saturday or Sunday, I mean, I look forward to opening that newspaper on Sunday morning
to see
what I did.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, nothing's wrong with that. And if I don't see my name in the paper, then I was like, well, did I do something wrong? And mm-hmm. at that time, I got to, you know, check myself, reevaluate myself to mm-hmm. make sure I'm in the paper.
Yeah.
And also, in that case, you know, stats, you know, means a little bit to these players that are playing the game.
Well, one of the things that really irks me, because I firmly believe what I said with the Richard Jefferson mm-hmm. thing, and it happens all the time when you go to the press conference and you see X player mm-hmm. sitting in there, and guess what they're doing? They're looking at the
stats.
And those mean nothing, because
right.
if you're good enough to play right. at whatever level.
But it means something to them.
I get that.
It really does.
I totally get that.
It means something to them, but evaluating the player. You're absolutely right. The player is evaluated totally different than not by X's and O's stats.
And I say this too because you could have, and I want to use Scooby as an example or whatever, mm-hmm. but you could have 4 great years. You could be a mm-hmm. great college player. Mm-hmm. Guess what matters now?
Yep.
How high you jump, mm-hmm. how well you shoot right. at the combine.
Right, exactly. And those stats put him in a bad situation.
Right.
You know, I look at Scooter. I mean, I think he's mm-hmm. he's basically probably that same type of a football player
as Scooby.
As Scooby, mm-hmm. you know, I see him in that same mold. And his stats, I mean, that the thing about that kid that I respect the most is he's a creator. You know, he make things happen to get the defense off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is basically he'll create a turnover in some fashion, be it a fumble recovered, create a fumble, interception, a tip ball. He's always around the ball to make the ball go into the favor of the defense so we can get off the field. He's a ball hawk. He's a hungry guy. He loves being around the football. And you can't teach that.
Right. No, you can't teach that. Did you think, and I think he's still with New England. He hasn't been cut.
No, he got cut. I don't even think he made it.
Okay. So recently, about 2-3 weeks ago, did you think that he'd have a career?
I did. I really did. I thought because of his stats and
right,
and
right,
the
right.
things that went along with him when he got into the league, I thought he could be a good teams player as far as a special team player. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would keep him around the league for a period of time. He dimensionally, he might have been a little short to play playing linebacker. So that might have been to his against him as far as keeping him out there for a period of time. So those little, you know, things of that particular. I don't know what type of a student of the game he may have been.
Oh, I thought he was.
Okay. I don't know. Okay, and if you're not a student of the game at that level, mm-hmm. okay, in regards to knowing what's going on constantly and keeping yourself abreast of your opponents, mm-hmm. That can slow you down a lot and put you in a bad situation.
Right, right. No, but it's one of those, the combine thing, though, if you mm-hmm. have great stats and you're not that guy mm-hmm. too short or yep. too slow right. or whatever, yep. it's gonna kill
well,
you.
We call them paper tigers. I mean, there's guys that's on a sheet of paper that are, you know, great. A team would look, you know, he got all the measurement that it takes to play whatever position may be. And so all it takes is one team to say, I need that guy.
Right, right.
And then the word get out that he's this type of player, then all of a sudden he's there.
Right, right. And luck of the draw, timing and circumstance, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We got to go to break here. Thank mm-hmm. you, Tom, here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. In studio with me is Lamont Hunley from Arizona Health, one of my great sponsors here on the show. It's so funny. If you were to recruit, if you're a coach and you were to recruit a player, what would you look for? Well, let me give you some categories. So would you a good athlete, a winner, an IQ guy? There's a lot of intangibles when you chase a player. I know everyone looks for that great five-star athlete, but a lot of those guys don't turn out to be five-star athletes. Mm-hmm. So what are you looking for? What would you look for?
Well, I mean, obvious. You got to look at the obvious first. I mean, as far as what kind of player he is on the football field, okay? And then there are some things you can look at that player on the football field to determine if he's a good person off the football field.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, an individual that's good off the football field can become a good teammate. Okay.
And I think that's undersold.
Right. Yeah, very much. I mean, because I mean, if you got a great teammate, a good teammate to a great teammate, you got a great team at that mm-hmm. point in time, because everybody's going to work together, mm-hmm. you know, not against one another. And that's a very hard thing to want out of a player and look into a player, because it's overlooked, because you look at all of the good things in the stats. Mm-hmm. Again, back to the stats that they have done in high school. But if you can't look at the character of that man or that player and see if the character of that player matches with your team mm-hmm. and the culture that you have established at your university or wherever it may be, that person can come in and mess everything up, or he can come in and make everything keep going the right way.
That's the funny thing, because you don't know that yeah. until he's already on camp.
Because he's selling himself too.
Sure.
But there are some things as far as, you know, if you can look at the quality of a person eyeball to eyeball, and then there are some things that he's probably selling himself to you.
Uh-huh.
And there are some things that he might be overselling himself. So he's overselling himself. I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is not the right guy for
right,
us.
Right, 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 right.
You know, so those things, as far as I would imagine it, as far as a good coach and a good recruiter, and I'm sure that's what they look at too.
Yes, yeah, so okay, talent, good character.
Mm-hmm.
What if you found a guy that was a three-star, and you see him here all the time, because mm-hmm. Arizona's a three-star team.
Yeah, of course
it is what it is.
Right. And,
you know, occasional five-star, mm-hmm. occasional four-star, but it's a three-star place.
Mm-hmm.
Scooby was a two-star.
Yes.
But you see these guys and you say, how did people miss? Well, these guys overachieved too.
Yes.
And they worked their butt off right. to become players.
Right. And once they got here, they realized that, you know, I need to work even harder to right. even stay here. So all of a sudden it becomes a challenge or a threat for them as the player now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It become a threat for them that if I don't work hard and I don't continue to work hard, I might not have a position here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, that's motivation within itself. So that drives that person to become, you know, that overlooked two-star, three-star player, and all of a sudden he's a four-star player for your team.
Yes, anybody have a question or want to call, please do, 790-2040. I have a couple of tickets to give away to the best caller today. I hope you guys do call in. So let me ask you, and I think I haven't asked you this when you were with David Adams and you've been on the show before. Who was that overachiever in your time? Who was that guy that says, he's pretty good, and then you say, oh, he's better than I thought?
Well, there was probably a few, but the one person that stands out the most to me is Jay Dobbins.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jay Dobbins, he basically was, you know, this simple-looking guy that I thought, you know, had no business out on the football field just because of his body structure and his size and whatnot. But Jay was one of those individuals that worked himself into becoming, you know, a true wide receiver and a really great player for our university. He was the first one on the field, and he was the last one to leave in all occasions. He also learned the game not only on the field, but he learned the game in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
He was always studying. He was always studying his opponents so he could make sure he placed himself in a position and kind of be humps, you know, like out of the way and not get hit in certain positions into injuring himself. But he by far was probably the one player that during my time, in my era, that I can say was that type of a kid.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know?
Have you seen, and because you keep an eye on it now, I know it's probably not as closely, but any of those guys now that have kind of said, you know, this guy came in and he said, okay, and then he turns out to be this guy. Like some of the guys that we didn't expect, the kid that played at Mountain View, played here, and then now he's in the NFL. His slash names, he has a couple names.
Slash name.
Slash, you know, he's got a hyphenated name, slash name. Like, you know.
He played here?
Yeah, Jones, Henry, you know, just a slash name, two names.
Oh, you're talking about the kid that's playing for the 49ers now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's guys like that.
He got safety, yeah.
Yeah, he was, you know, you don't think, he's okay. And then he ends up in the NFL.
Exactly.
The kid that's at Denver. That were played here.
Yes, another safety.
Those guys that you said, I don't know about them too. Yeah. And then they end up playing in the NFL.
Well, you know, and again, those are the type of players, though, in regards to that the NFL look for. I mean, they look for those type of players as far as, again, team players who can come out there and develop themselves and be quality team players for them for, you know, 3-4 years into the league. And, I mean, that's saying something. And they bring those you know, intangibles that we don't look for as far as the measurements. There's a lot of things that they would bring to the game. You know, you're that crazy to run down the field on a kickoff or that punt return and who could care less who's in front of you, but your job is to take, you know, the guy out.
Yeah.
And those type of players are the ones that we're talking about at that point in time. You know, and they was decent players here at the University of Arizona just as well. I mean, they was decent players. They didn't stand out, you know, like some of the players are standing out here.
Yeah, Demetrius Flanagan Files.
Demetrius Flanagan, that's it. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. He started at Tucson High.
Okay.
And then he didn't play at Mountain View because of the transfer stuff. Yeah, the transfer situation.
Yeah. See, and you wouldn't think, here's this guy. Well, the kid that played at Tucson High that went to Alabama.
Yes.
And now is with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, those stories don't happen very
often. Wilkerson, something like that.
No, I had him on the show.
Yeah.
See, I'm getting, it's like your Elton John stuff. Yeah. We're two old dudes on the radio.
Yeah. Wait. See, you should have a stat person here, like throwing this stuff in our ears.
Yeah. It's this guy. Yeah. So, but it happens all the time. Jay, but I think you hit on the head with Jay, and I've heard it a number of times.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing about it, he took some hits, and you're thinking, there's no way this guy's going to get
back up. But he didn't take real in-your-face hits. I mean, he knew how to position his body that he didn't take a direct hit.
Uh-huh.
Most of the time, a person was hitting Jay, you know, to the side of his body or brushing off on Jay.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll take the hit and settle down. Well, I mean, you watch some of his film, you can just see it through your eye.
So you watch a lot of football on Sundays, Saturdays as well?
You know what? I'm more of a college guy and not Sundays guy type of thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, college pro football really doesn't get me.
Oh, no, I really totally get it. You're like me in being a sports guy. I used to be a great sports guy. I'm not anymore because I know how the sausage is made.
Okay.
Have we talked about this?
Yeah.
Where it's just it's a lot of BS.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And you see the outcome before the outcome happens.
Yes.
You know,
so
it's like, why am I wasting my time when I know it's going to end?
Right. So let me ask you, and this is a foolish question. It may be not even have an answer, but you saw the hit that Pittsburgh, who's the quarterback?
Yeah.
Are you surprised, and this is a dumb question, I mean, phrasing it this way, that people haven't died on the field yet?
That's not good.
No, you know what I'm saying? They get hit? I know it's a dumb question, but you guys get hit brutal.
No, I mean, there's so much protection as far as the actual equipment that's on a body. And that's the reason why people haven't died. If they didn't die when they was wearing no helmets and no face masks.
True, but you know what I'm saying?
You know what? And that hit wasn't even an illegal hit.
No, I know it was. Did he get fined? It was not illegal.
I don't think he had. I don't know if he got fined or not, but it was not. The quarterback was just in a situation. He got sandwiched between two defenders.
And it'll
hit him in the right place. And when his head hit the ground, and most of the time your head hit the ground, that's when the concussion comes in place.
Where were you? How old were you when Stingley? Raiders?
Oh, from the Patriots. Daryl Stingley.
Yeah, yeah.
Daryl Stingley for the Patriots, the wide receiver.
Yes.
I think I was in junior high school at that time when all that took place. And, even right there, during that time period, if I can, reflect back to when that happened to that gentleman, that didn't stop me from wanting to play the football.
Right.
It didn't stop me from wanting to be out there and running around, because I thought it was part of the game.
Yeah. And then today's situation, you talk about equipment and things like that, but there's less hitting than there was before.
Yes, it is.
Because of the lawsuits and the litigation and stuff.
No, not lawsuits, because the game is all centered around offense, to protect the offense.
Well, they're afraid, too, of those lawsuits. Aren't they concussions and...
No, I don't think. It's because everybody want the ball in the end zone. That's the reason
This is a defensive player.
No, but it's true. Everybody want to see the ball get in the end zone. So they're going to do... They're going to do everything they can to make sure butts are stay in the seats and their eyes are glued to the TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, and it's unfair to the defense.
What's the phrase in baseball? Chicks dig the long ball? People like the scoring?
Yep, exactly.
The scoring.
They do. They love the score.
I don't disagree with that. But it's changed. The game has changed.
A lot. An awful lot.
Is it still, you don't watch it as much on Sunday, but is it still a good game to you?
No, it's not. I mean, it's not in the sense of want me or forcing me to want to watch it. Because again, the game has changed so much that it's completely one-sided offensively again. The game itself is watered down a lot as far as actual players playing the game. You got too many specialty people that plays one or two snaps versus playing a whole game.
Mm-hmm.
There's guys that play on a pro level. They play one or two snaps and make, $500,000 just for one or two snaps.
Where's that job? Where can I find it?
Why didn't I have that job? I think that sense of everything has really watered the game down so much that it removes the interest. For wanted to see a person capitalize on, the sack record and all these different things that could take place.
Right.
Because you got one guy out there, his job is to rush the quarterback. One guy is to stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little watered down.
Right. Tom, let's go to a break here, our final break before we close the show here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, and in studio with me is Lamont Unley from Arizona Health, formerly of the U of A football program. So you're kind of a, are you not a critic of the team? You're an observer of the team and a fan of the team now.
Yeah, I've never been a critic. I may be a critic of play. I may be a critic of
calls.
Mm-hmm. But I'm a critic internally, not externally. But I'm a fan of the players by far. Mm-hmm. I mean, I want to see every player that's out there, play well and do well.
Mm-hmm. Have you gotten close to any of them? Not so much maybe now, but recently where they confide in you or you're like a big brother?
No, not at all.
Are you, how can I say this? I don't want to say disappointed, but would you have welcomed that?
Oh, by all means.
Why don't you think they've done that?
Right. Well, I think sometimes when you know what, you want to, share it and don't let no one else, get into these kids' head, which is fine. It's fine. Again, I played a game 100 years ago.
Yeah, but still.
It's maybe a little different than what they're teaching now. And I think a lot has to do with the relationship of the people who would say, reach out and talk to this particular individual, or maybe it's against NC2A. I don't know.
But you're around. I mean, Jay's around, exactly. and there's guys, and maybe they get involved. But you know what I'm saying? It would be an obvious thing.
I'm only if I'm asked. I mean, I'm front and center. But sure. I've never been asked.
Sure. That makes a little weird to me.
Yeah.
And you've been around for a long time. You're not going anywhere.
No.
This is your hometown.
This is my hometown.
Yeah.
For sure.
So it's funny that you kind of agree with me in terms of being a fan.
Mm-hmm.
You watch certain things and you kind of know how, and not that you know how things are going to turn out, mm-hmm. but you know there's more to the story than the story.
Exactly. Right. I mean, you know, there's sometimes a person in the stand see an interception and you blame the quarterback first.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's not the quarterback's fault. It's the, you know, the wide receiver's fault.
Right, bad route
or whatever it may be, or the ball bounced off of him.
Mm-hmm.
And if the ball touched your hand, you should catch it.
Yeah. Do you, I always ask this of people, and I don't think I've asked this of you in studio. You're a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
You were a longtime competitor. You probably still are. So if you were a competitor one time at that level, mm-hmm. do you miss it or you do it with business now?
Oh, it transcends into my regular life as mm-hmm. far as being competitive in my regular life and everything I do, mm-hmm. work-wise, family-wise, game-wise, outside, you know, hobbies that I have.
Do you, like when you play whatever you play? Mm-hmm. Give me a sport.
Golf.
Yeah, so in fact, someone said mm-hmm. that they were with you not too long ago, you and Julius mm-hmm. and some other guys on the golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that you guys were
very competitive. Very competitive. I mean, we play for dollars. So, you know, I want to take every dollar in their pocket.
Right. And it doesn't seem to me, and I could be totally wrong, that you were a talker.
I am a talker.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay.
I am.
So in no situation,
I am a talker. I'm a believer in talking yourself into making things happen. You know, I visualize it. Just the other day, I'm playing golf with a group of guys, and my foursome against their foursome, and we had our approach shot to the green.
Mm-hmm.
You know, naturally, I had a nice approach shot about 15 yards from the hole, and the competitive team had a pro shot about 17 yards from the hole. So I went up there and watched their ball because it's kind of parallel even to where the hole is. So I watched their ball as far as, you know, noticing how it was going to the hole, going towards the hole. And so my team standing over here, you know, waiting for their turn, I said, no, I got this. I got this. Back off. I got this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm talking and carrying on and letting them know I got this. And all the way I made my putt. I talked all the way to the hole. Pick it up. Let's go. And win $10. So, you could talk yourself into reality, uh-huh. I'm a believer of that.
So if you're a talker, I'm sure the people who have to listen try to talk back.
They try. but if what I'm saying comes to reality, what can you say?
Right.
other than congratulations.
Right. So who along those lines, I would assume that Julius might be a talker or no?
Julius, no, he's not. Julius,
nope. Julius he's the preacher guy.
He's the preacher. He's not much. The worst talker is Ricky.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's nonstop. I mean, he's nonstop. And he's one of these guys that you know, again, as we bet along and we make things happen, if he's behind, he loves to push.
He
loves to press and push along and press you and try to get even.
Right.
So he's the worst one.
Yeah, until it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Until it doesn't happen.
And he doesn't pay up, so what difference
does
it make?
Who's the bigger competitor, you or your brother?
I think we're pretty even, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think my whole family is that way. Even, you know, the rest of my siblings and, you know, we're very competitive amongst each other.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're all pretty even across the board.
That probably helped you become the players that you were.
Yes, I think it was because, you know, we was always, you know, competing, but yet still respecting mm-hmm. one another as far mm-hmm. as throughout the process of what we were doing and all sports that we played from elementary school all the way up to high school, college, and pro.
Mm-hmm.
And we was very critical of one another in regards to
evaluation
and things that happened, which taught us well.
I don't think I asked you this question too when you and Julius were here, and I talked to Ricky before. He's a couple years older, correct?
No, he's 1 year and 2 months
older.
Older.
Okay, so disregard him. So when you first arrived here,
mm-hmm.
who was the best player you saw when you got here?
Oh, okay. Disregarding Ricky, the best player I saw was a gentleman named Glenn Perkins. Glenn Perkins was a linebacker. He was an inside linebacker.
Uh-huh. And from where?
Glenn was from city in California, like outside of L.A. area. And Glenn played linebacker for us, and he played under Tony Mason. And I think my freshman year, Glenn may have been a senior, I believe. Mm-hmm. But Glenn, he had an injury that he sustained, a knee injury, and kind of slowed him down quite a bit.
Before his senior year?
Before his senior year, he had blew his knee out. But he regained it, and he worked hard and got back on the field. And he was an undersized player as far as size-wise, but he was such a quick football player. And he had the meanest, fastest, quickest, strongest wing that he would throw at you and knock the living crap out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And quiet. Real quiet gentleman. But he hadn't steal, again, one of those cats that was first on the field, last off the field.
What happened to him?
Glenn ended up playing in the
USFL
for Phoenix team, the Rattlers, right? Arizona Rattlers. That's who it was. It was Arizona Rattlers. He played for them for a few years. And he resides in L.A. I think he works for Universal Studios now, something like that. But he was just an awesome player.
Where I want to go with that, it was, so when you see a guy like that and you're a freshman, you're thinking,
I can't do this.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Holy crap. Right,
exactly. It's like, man, look at these guys. They're pretty good guys. And then, you know, then once you, you know, you get yourself out there and you get wet a little bit and you get the understanding that you fit in and they you're here for a reason.
Right.
You know, and you play within the structure of your game and whatever they brought you here to do, you do your thing, then, you know, it's just become a natural.
And at some point you become, not to become Glenn Perkins,
become them.
But you become stronger.
Exactly.
Just as fast.
Just keeping your eyeballs on them, you become them or better.
They're the guys that push you.
Exactly.
Who's the guy that pushed you? Don't include your brother.
Individuals that pushed me player-wise, it was with me here at the University of Arizona. Mm-hmm.
You have about a minute.
Jesus. Player-wise, they probably pushed me the most. Oh, a great friend of mine, he's not with us right now. He's got a gentleman named Joe Drake. And Joe was actually our roommate as a freshman, as well as a great defensive nose tackle for us. And he knew what his position was, but he wanted to get just as much out of me as a player, too.
Mm-hmm.
But by far, he was probably the most.
Yeah, I think you remember those guys forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because obviously they pushed you and you become friends.
Right, become friends and stuff.
Yeah. Who did you push?
I think I pushed Byron Evans.
Uh-huh.
Byron Evans, Brent Woods, gentlemen like that. But Byron and him are best of friends.
Yeah. Did he send you any NFL checks?
No, he did not. but I got some checks from him. He brought equipment from me, so so there was some checks.
Fair trade, that's good. Well, that was a good time, good era and all that. Yeah, good time. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, anytime.
We're gonna do this almost weekly, probably talk about UA football, what life and philosophy, stuff like that.
You got it.
In studio or on the phone. So I'm looking forward to that.
Whatever's easy for you, because you know you didn't bring no food. So
well, next time, I gotta remember that. Thanks for coming in a lot.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate it. That's it for today. Thank you, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.